Tonight we got ourselves a rare live episode of Rampage from St. Louis, Missouri. We're live every week here on the channel. That's nothing new for us here. This is your AEW Rampage review for Friday, November 5th, 2021. I am the Solemn Monster. They were live from St. Louis tonight because originally Full Gear was going to be in St. Louis this weekend. In fact, the building they were in tonight for the Rampage episode is where the pay-per-view was supposed to be tomorrow night originally. They, of course, moved the show to next Saturday, if you recall, because there's a Canelo Alvarez fight and a UFC pay-per-view coming up tomorrow night from Madison Square Garden. And Tony Khan said, I don't want to have any part of that. So they moved the pay-per-view to a different city. It's going to be in Minneapolis next weekend. And before the show went on the air tonight, Tony Khan addressed the live audience at the Chaffetz Arena. He came out on stage with a microphone, and he wanted to personally apologize to all of the fans in the building who had bought a ticket, in some cases many months ago, thinking they were going to see a pay-per-view this weekend. He came out to personally apologize for moving the show. He said it would have been bad business for AEW. He mentioned the Canelo fight. He mentioned the UFC pay-per-view. And he promised to make it up to them. And look, say whatever you want about Tony Khan. The man knows how to curry favor with his audience. He does a very good job of that. This show was all about the face-off between CM Punk and Eddie Kingston. It was not the only good thing on this show. Overall, I thought this was a very enjoyable hour of Rampage tonight. We had an unexpected Bryan Danielson match that got added later in the day. We had the Adam Cole, John Silver main event, which I thought was a lot of fun. But it was all about Punk and Kingston. The moment that they announced on Wednesday that these two were going to have a face-off here on this show, I knew exactly what the segment was that I was going to be looking forward to the most. They had 10 days, about 10 days, to sell you on a pay-per-view match that really, it wasn't even official until tonight. Tony Khan went on Twitter a little while ago to make it official. It will be CM Punk one-on-one against Eddie Kingston at Full Gear, which we all figured last week when they first had their little run-in backstage with one another. But they had 10 days to convince you that this was a match worth seeing and get people excited to want to see CM Punk one-on-one against Eddie Kingston for an issue that they just manufactured in a backstage segment on TV last week after Kingston lost to Bryan Danielson. He was not happy. He didn't think that he tapped out, or not tapped out, but submitted, and the referee shouldn't have stopped the match. He was very vocal in the back. He interrupted CM Punk. This all started on the basis of an interruption in the back. Not the most exciting premise for a match, but I said, just put a live mic in their hand, put Punk in the ring with Eddie Kingston, one guy on one side, one guy on the other, and they'll sell the match. They'll sell the match. You don't need weeks and weeks and weeks worth of buildup. You don't have to do tag team matches and all kinds of matches. And you don't have to do any of that. When you have someone like CM Punk, who is known for his promo ability, who can talk people into the arenas, as he did many years ago when we had the Summer of Punk in WWE, or even before that, right? Punk had a knack for being able to either piss people off or, when he was a babyface, rally people behind him, right? The voice of the voiceless. Not everybody has that gift. CM Punk is somebody who had that gift and still does. Eddie Kingston, we know Eddie Kingston can talk. Eddie Kingston, when he goes out there, he's not playing a character on TV. He's being Eddie Kingston. Only a lot louder than he probably is when he's in the back, when he's not on camera. You take two guys, two type A personalities like that, you put them together in the ring and say, hey guys, I need you to sell this match. They're going to go out there and they're going to knock it out of the park. And that's exactly what they did here tonight. You put a live mic in their hand, give them 10 minutes, and they will sell you. And I guarantee you, you had a lot of people who watched this show tonight who, you know, not maybe they were going to order the pay-per-view anyway. Maybe there were people who were on the fence and didn't know if they were going to order Full Gear. This is the kind of match here that could sell a lot of people who may have been on the fence to go ahead next Saturday night and buy this pay-per-view. I thought this face-off was fantastic. I thought Eddie shined even more than Punk did in that segment. Rampage opened with Bryan Danielson one-on-one against Anthony Bowens of The Acclaimed. This was a late addition. The story, as Excalibur explained it, Excalibur had kind of a rough night on commentary tonight. As he explained it on commentary, he said that Bowens apparently called Tony Khan a terrible boss. And so Tony decided to put him in the ring as a punishment one-on-one tonight against Bryan Danielson. That was the story behind this match. Max Caster is, of course, tag team partners with Anthony Bowens. And Max Caster came down to the ring and he rapped, as he always does. He talked about Bryan's cucumbers. He is a man of the earth, after all. Talked about his cucumbers. He talked about his wife's reality, her shitty, well, he didn't say shitty. His wife's reality show. I added that little description there. And he ended the rap with, "I'm going to put you in poverty, dog, because I'm ending careers quicker than your father-in-law." Obviously a reference to John Laurinaitis, who is actually now part of the family. He's part of the Danielson family, if you could believe it. He's married to Nikki and Bree's mom. How'd you like to have Johnny Ace as your father-in-law? He's a little busy yesterday with the phone calls. Or the emails, or whatever the fuck it was that he was sending around. I tell you what, you know, when I heard that line, and it was a clever line, but when I heard that line, I thought, I think the only reason they put this match together is literally so that Max Caster could come down to the ring and pop off that line. I think that's the only reason that they added this match and worked it into the format for tonight's show, just so Caster could go out there and say that one line. Bowens went for a vertical suplex. Danielson caught him with a knee, tried for a cross arm breaker. But Bowens got to the ropes, and so Danielson kicked him out to the floor, and he went out on the apron. He looked like he was going for a PK, but as he went for the kick, Bowens blocked it and dropped Danielson face first on the apron. Caster clotheslined Danielson on the floor when the referee was distracted. Kind of a weak clothesline, took down Bryan. They went to the picture-in-picture. Back from break, Danielson hits Bowens with a flying clothesline. He throws some yes kicks. He missed a drop kick in the corner, and Bowens caught Danielson with a twisting inverted DDT. That looked kind of cool. I didn't pick up on the name of it. I'm sure it does have a name. I didn't pick up on it, but that was a cool-looking move. Danielson came back and backdropped Bowens out onto Caster, and then Danielson went up to the top rope, came off with a big crossbody, and wiped them both out. So back inside, he hit a shotgun drop kick. Danielson hit the stomps to the face. Then he applied the lapel lock, which forced Anthony Bowens to tap out. So this was a nice little warm-up for Bryan, you know, ahead of the finals against Miro at Full Gear next weekend. That's really what all this was. It wasn't a squash either, you know. They booked Bowens to be more competitive than I thought he would be here in this match, so that's really all it was. It was just a nice little warm-up and a way to get Bryan on the show. But I think more than anything, it was a way to get Max Caster to script that line and you know, put that little line there at the end of his rap and get people talking. So they recap the whole angle from the end of Dynamite on Wednesday, where we had Cody one-on-one against Andrade. And FTR interfered and cost Cody the match. And there was a segment that we did not see on TV from the other night. In the back, Tony Schiavone was with Andrade and his assistant, Jose. FTR was there with, I believe Tully was there as well, and MJF. And he was paying off MJF. He handed him one envelope, and MJF thought it was a little light, so they handed him a second envelope. He paid off MJF to have the services of FTR for the next 2 weeks. And MJF took the money and he got out of there. Dax Harwood took the mic and he was wondering why there was no Pac on TV on Wednesday. Where was Pac? And he called Pac a British bitch. Pac and Harwood are going to have a match on Dynamite this week. Pac is around. Pac didn't leave again. He just wasn't on the show this week, but he'll go one-on-one with Harwood on Wednesday. Actually, I think that could be a hell of a match. I don't think Dax Harwood gets enough credit. Dax Harwood is a great professional wrestler. I think even more than some people give him credit for. So then we had my favorite segment on the show, the best segment on the show tonight, which was the big face-off. CM Punk coming on down to the ring. He was out next to call out Eddie Kingston. This after their little backstage confrontation last Friday. So they played Eddie's music, and there's no Eddie Kingston. Music stops. Punk starts talking again. He's wondering where he is. After the music stops, here comes Eddie Kingston. He don't need no theme music. Eddie Kingston doesn't need theme music. He storms down to the ring. This is a man with a purpose. He walked down there like a man on a mission. So he comes down to the ring, and he sarcastically apologized to the great CM Punk. He mocked CM Punk because he said Punk wanted an apology. Punk said Kingston interrupted him last week. And he said, oh, I interrupted the great CM Punk. Oh, no. Kingston said he would apologize. He would apologize for sitting at home because he thought he might have COVID. And he had to go get tested and wait for a negative test. And he mentioned a friend of his in the back who's got a family and kids, and he didn't want to show up and get them sick. So excuse me for not showing up last week. They kind of were talking over each other for a while, which I actually kind of liked. Yeah, you know, you don't want that to go on for too long. But I think the way that they did this, though, and them shouting over each other and shouting insults at each other, added to the realism in the segment. Yeah, there are times where people just shout over each other and it's just annoying and you can't hear or understand what they're saying. But I actually think the back and forth at the beginning of the segment, which was kind of all over the place, added to the realism of it. Eventually, they hunkered down and Eddie got into the real meat and potatoes of the promo. But he settled in and he said, you know, Punk was once a hero of his. Two of them have history. And he said Punk was a hero of his. He mentioned Samoa Joe. He mentioned Homicide. He mentioned the Amazing Red as people who, House of Glory, shout out. The Amazing Red as people who inspired him. And Kingston called Punk a two-faced narcissistic bitch. Unlike all those other people, he said Punk judged him. And he wondered if it was because he was fat. Is it because I ate a lot of food? Is it because, you know, is there some other reason I didn't make friends with the booker? Whatever it may have been. At this point, people were chanting Eddie. They were really getting into what Kingston was saying. Kingston had a fire in his belly and a fire in his voice here. He was really getting into it. He was kind of building to it, but he was really getting into it here. So then Punk, who was just kind of standing back, and he had this shit-eating smirk on his face. Punk said Kingston was lumping baggage onto him, you know, that he had in his life. He said, you know, it wasn't just me who judged Eddie. Because everybody did. Said everybody saw potential in Eddie and Kingston just fell short. And Punk said that Kingston could blame him, but it's not his fault. He said he was a fool to hold Kingston to a higher standard and expect greatness because Eddie Kingston is a bum. And as soon as he called this man a bum, the people in St. Louis booed. They booed CM Punk. For the first time since Punk came back, he had that great return in Chicago at the United Center, one of the loudest crowd pops I've ever heard all my years of wrestling fandom. Oh, what it would have been like to be there live in the building that night. I'm sure that would have been a lot of fun. Every week we see Punk on TV going from city to city, getting great reactions and yucking it up, soaking it all in. He's, you know, being crowd surfed or whatever, stage diving into the crowd. And this is the first time that CM Punk has been booed for something that he said. People did not like that when he called Eddie Kingston a bum. Kingston said, would a bum main event Full Gear? Was it Full Gear? He might have mentioned a different name, actually. But he goes, I am taking a shot. He goes, AEW is the only professional wrestling company in the world today, and plays pop for that line. He couldn't resist. Not the first time he's taken a shot like that. Kingston said he doesn't want Punk there. Nobody in the back wants Sia. And he was getting right up in his face, too. He goes, nobody wants you here. And nobody back there wants you here either. And Kingston challenged Punk to a match at Full Gear. And Punk said, Punk had a great line here. He said, you know, I was... Now, Full Gear, yeah, I was more thinking, you know, Elevation or Dark would be more your speed. And again, that drew boos from the crowd. Kingston called Punk a coward, and he kept saying, fight me, which I know many of you who listen to the podcast probably had a nice little laugh at that line. Took me back to the days of Aleister Black on Monday Night Raw being locked in a room for weeks and weeks with nobody to fight, looking into the camera, desperately saying, fight me! Fight me! How many weeks did he sit in that room? I lost count. Nobody would fight the guy. So he was up in Punk's face saying, fight me, fight me, fight me. And Punk asked the crowd, is that what you want? Do you want to see CM Punk one-on-one against Eddie Kingston in Full Gear? And the place went nuts. And Punk said, I'll see you on the 13th. And just as Punk looked like he was about to exit the ring, Kingston said that after the match, you could go away for 7 more years. And just as he got the line off, Punk gave him a headbutt, kind of similar to the angle they did in TNA with Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe when Angle gave him that headbutt, although he split Joe's head open. There was no blood here that I could tell. It wasn't that vicious of a headbutt. But Punk gave him a headbutt, and the two of them brawled. Referees came down to the ring and some wrestlers to try to pull them apart. And every time, you know, one guy would break free and Eddie jumped on Punk and then they pulled him apart again. And then Punk broke free and he jumped on Eddie. And everybody was eating this up. Eating this up. Crowd wanted to see these two guys throw down. I thought this segment was fantastic, and if you want to know how good Eddie Kingston is, when he gets in the zone, how good he can be on the microphone, and I understand that this segment clearly was designed this way, but you can never be sure what reaction you're going to get from the audience, right? If they're going to boo or cheer where you want them to boo or cheer. So even if it was designed that way, this man got the crowd for the very first time to boo CM Punk. And that's not an easy thing to do. Although Punk is going to make a great heel at some point. Not right now, but at some point Punk will be heel again, and I think he'll be a great heel in AEW. But he got the crowd to boo CM Punk, the beloved CM Punk. And he finally gave Punk something compelling. Punk should be thanking him because even on 2 weeks' notice here, barely putting this together here for the pay-per-view, this is the most compelling storyline or angle on TV that Punk has been part of. I mean, I enjoyed the match with Darby, but there really wasn't a whole lot to it. This is finally, for the first time, I feel like, since he debuted, something that he can really sink his teeth into and something actually compelling for CM Punk to do instead of just going from, you know, opponent to opponent to opponent, just racking up wins with no... Not really a lot of story behind it, the stuff with Team Taz. So finally, the first real kind of deep story here for Punk to involve himself in. I love that it was Punk, by the way, and not Kingston, who came off as the heelish one here in this segment. I like that aspect of it as well. But the thing I love the most about Eddie Kingston is that he's real. You know, sometimes people will go, oh, I'm real. I'm the real deal. No, you're not. Eddie Kingston, he's the real deal. Eddie Kingston is the genuine article. I said Eddie Kingston, when he's out there, is not playing a character. He's being himself. Only he's being a lot louder than he would be in his normal everyday life. He has a believability about him that very, very few people in wrestling today have. It's something that I feel more people used to have many, many, many years ago. Now it's really just a handful of people. Where when you see them on TV or they're cutting a promo and they're looking into the camera or whatever it is that they may be doing, the way they carry themselves, the way they present themselves, the way they speak, the language they use, you look at that person and say, this guy feels real. I feel like this guy could really kick my ass if I pissed him off. Or I feel like, you know, this guy is telling his whole life story and all of his his struggles in life and everything, and I believe what he's saying. I don't think he's lying to us. I don't think he's telling a story. I don't think it's a wrestling angle. This guy is real. I think that when the camera goes off, if I were to bump into this guy or I was going to meet up with him and have a beer with him or whatever, this is who I would get. His words carry a lot of weight. You don't feel like you're just being fed bullshit. That's what Eddie Kingston has that not a lot of people have. And one of the reasons why I think this segment works so much is because you can believe everything that he was saying. Everything he said in the segment could very well be bullshit for all I know. You know, maybe there was something he said, even the COVID thing. That could have been completely made up for all I know, as far as why he wasn't on TV last week, although I think that might actually be legitimate. The other thing about Eddie is I really think he needs to win a big match at some point. The only thing about Eddie is he loses a lot. And at some point, he's got to win a big match. Now, I don't think this is going to be the time for him to do it. I don't think this is it. I think there's a much better chance that Danielson loses to Miro at Full Gear than Kingston beats CM Punk. But I thought this segment was great. It accomplished exactly what it set out to do in a very short period of time. Give people a reason to give a shit about seeing CM Punk one-on-one against Eddie Kingston on short notice, and I think they accomplished that tonight. Now, backstage, Tony Schiavone was interviewing Christian Cage. And he called out the Young Bucks for calling themselves tough guys. He was there with Jurassic Express as well. Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy was there. So Cage called the Bucks sad sacks of shit. Jungle Boy took the mic and he challenged the Super Click to a match against the Jurassic Express and Christian Cage of Full Gear. Falls count anywhere. So there's the match. Some people the other night were saying, oh, it might be Adam Cole one-on-one against Christian, which I think would be a very good match. But this felt like a six-person tag to me, and that's apparently what we're going to be getting at Full Gear. It's going to be three against three, and I think that's going to be a great match, too. Red Velvet against The Bunny in the final first-round match in the TBS title tournament, with the winner meeting Jade Cargill in the next round. She was sitting ringside, front row for this match, with her manager, Smart Mark Sterling. Velvet sprinted down to the ring right at the beginning here, went right after the Bunny. She was not happy about being nailed with those brass knucks the last time they were in the ring together. Bunny hit a really lame-looking curb stomp on the ring steps. You know, my advice, not that anybody asked for my advice, but it's my podcast, so I give my advice. If you're going to do a move and you really don't have a good way to make it look decent, it's probably not worth doing the move. Curb stomp could look really devastating even without the ring steps. I don't want, obviously, the Bunny to go out there and really curb stomp Red Velvet into the fucking ring steps. She would kill the poor girl. But if you're going to do it, you got to make it look good. This did not look good. So you're better off not even doing a move like that, or better off just do it on the ground. Why do you have to do it on the stairs for? So that looked terrible. Back in the ring, the Bunny hit a drop kick to Velvet's back, which knocked her head into the second buckle. Velvet came back with a stunner for a near fall. Bunny landed a Death Valley driver for a two count, and then hit a thrust kick, went for her finish, but Velvet countered and hit the final slice for the win. Short match, went about 3.5 minutes. Nothing really special. But Red Velvet will meet Jade Cargill. And obviously, those two have history together. She will meet Jade in the quarterfinals of the tournament. Those two have a history that I think is not going to end well for Red Velvet. Jade Cargill is going to move on. She's going to win that match and go on to meet, I believe, Thunder Rosa in the semifinals of the tournament once Thunder Rosa picks up a win over Jamie Hayter. That is my prediction there. We got the obligatory pre-main event promo in the back, split screen. Mark Henry was hosting, or emceeing, I guess, whatever word you want to use for it, with Adam Cole and John Silver. It was Adam Cole of the Elite. Adam Cole of the Super Click one-on-one against, or I guess I should call him Budge, right? Is that his name, Budge? I learned this just the other day. Budge, or as Britt Baker calls him, Bulge, perhaps. I don't know. One-on-one against John Silver of the Dark Order. Cole had the Young Bucks with him in his corner. However, John Silver sent the Dark Order to the back. He was going to go it alone. He was going to do it all by himself. He came down to the ring, and they fought out onto the apron early. Cole snapmare John Silver over onto the apron. And then on the floor, Cole locked Silver in a camel clutch, and Matt and Nick gave a kiss on each cheek as they headed into the final ad break of the show. Now, late in the match, Cole hit the Ushiguroshi. He dropped Silver down neck first, right across the knee. Silver, though, caught him with a lariat coming off the ropes and turned him inside out. And he hit a snap German followed by a pump kick to the side of the head. And the thing is, when John Silver goes on a rampage, we see these flurries of offense, these bursts of offense from him. The people are into it. It's just fun. You know, when Silver really gets in that zone and he's going crazy out there, it's a lot of fun to watch. And he had the crowd, and I heard from a couple of people who were actually in the building tonight who said that people were going nuts. They were going nuts for the Punk and Kingston stuff, too. But also that they were going nuts here when Silver went on offense in the main event. The end of this match, the crowd was really, you know, into all of this here. Bucks, though, they placed Cole's foot. When it looked like perhaps John Silver had Cole beat, the Bucks put Cole's foot on the bottom rope to break up the pin attempt. So the rest of the Dark Order came down to confront the Young Bucks and stop them from interfering. With the referee distracted, Cole went for a low blow, but Silver had it scouted. He stopped it. He grabbed his arm before the arm could hit his balls. And John Silver hit a spinning Liger Bomb for a very close near fall. Cole went for the Panama Sunrise, and that got foiled. But Cole came back with super kicks, hit the boom to the back of the head, the running knee strike for the win, 1-2-3. Adam Cole picks up the W. I thought this was a fun main event. So when I look at the show overall tonight, we had the Danielson match, which was, you know, it was fine. It was good for what it was, just a warm-up match for him. But it was cool to see him on the show. I get the sense he just loves working with all these guys that he has never been in the ring with before. He's got to be having the time of his life working against all these different people, whether it's Suzuki, you know, on short notice, whether it's, you know, Anthony Bowens. He wrestled Kenny Omega in the very first match that he had in this company. Bobby Fish. Now he's going to wrestle Miro, who he hasn't been in the ring with for the first time in 3 years, next weekend. I thought this was a fun episode of Rampage. Quick, easy watch, good action, great promo. Watch that face-to-face with CM Punk and Eddie Kingston. I defy you to watch that and not want to see that match on the pay-per-view. So we got an announcement of the rundown for Dynamite coming up on Wednesday. It's going to be Pac one-on-one against Dax Harwood, which I mentioned earlier. Thunder Rosa, Ty Conti, and Anna Jay take on Britt Baker, Rebel, and Jamie Hayter. And we have Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty taking on Dante Martin and Leo Rush. We have a world title contract signing for Full Gear with Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. And we have, how about this? After what I was just talking about, Bryan Danielson one-on-one against Rocky Romero of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Yet another. It's just like they're... I don't know if Bryan has a list and just kind of handed it to Tony Khan and said, look, here's my wish list. I want you to bring these people in. I want to work against these guys. And Tony Khan says, yes, sir. And he just goes out and he brings in whoever Bryan wants to step in the ring with. I smiled for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think it's going to be a really good match. You know, Rocky Romero obviously is a very good wrestler. But, well, I'm going to be back with you live on Wednesday after Dynamite, as always. I will not be here live next Friday. There will be no Rampage review next Friday night. And the reason I will not be here next Friday is because I am going to be doing commentary for the House of Glory show here in New York. 8 p.m. next Friday. I'm very excited. Our first show in just about 2 years. On that show, there were actually two name drops tonight. One during the Kingston promo with Punk, and one here in the preview for Dynamite coming up this week. Eddie Kingston name dropped the Amazing Red. Well, the Amazing Red, the founding father of House of Glory, is going to be in the main event next Friday against Will Ospreay, and I'm very excited to be even a small part of that match. So it was cool that Red got a name drop here on this show, but Rocky Romero is on that show as well. So I'll be calling a Rocky Romero match one-on-one. He takes on Cashflow Ken Broadway. If Ken Broadway is not somebody who you have heard of before, you will soon. So I'm very much looking forward to that show. And if you want to watch the House of Glory show instead of SmackDown and possibly instead of Rampage, you can watch it on Fight TV. You don't have to be here in New York. It's $15, I believe, on Fight TV. You could order the show and watch the Hog Show live. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, when I saw Rocky Romero pop up on screen, I said, boy, it's going to be a busy week next week. Rocky Romero is going to go from fighting Bryan Danielson on Wednesday to stepping into the ring with Ken Broadway on Friday. So I'm looking forward to that. So let's take a look at the Twitter poll here and see what the sentiment is about tonight's show. We have 90% of you have voted thumbs up. Look at that on tonight's show. So let's jump into your super chats. Hang out for a little bit. Take some super chats. By the way, if you missed that stream last night, the entire thing, 2.5 hours, is on the YouTube channel. So if you missed it, you want to check out the whole thing or just part of it, when you're done here, feel free to go back. And we got into all the WWE releases. Of course, I'm going to be talking more about that on the podcast on Sunday. We have a little bit more in the way of information about some of the people who were let go. I was going to say Black Friday, but I guess you would call it Black Thursday. We have Black Wednesdays, Black Thursdays in WWE, Black Fridays. We all know what WWE's favorite color is this year. It is the color black, which comes in the same year that we've had two black WWE champions. It's a long time coming for Bobby Lashley. One of the positive things we actually got this year from WWE. Ryan Spies seems to agree with what I said earlier about why the Bryan Danielson match was added to tonight's show. He thought it was purely so that Caster could get that dig in at John Laurinaitis. I do believe you are correct, sir. Boots dropping $2. And I see Marcus the Entertainer on screen. Marcus, thank you. I will get to your message in just a little bit. Hey, Michael Paterzo. What's going on, Michael? I see Michael just became a Sound Off legend. One of our channel members. Thank you, Michael. You got the first 12 episodes of the Sound Off from 2007 into 2008 that are up right now and more to come that you can go back and listen to. And the very first episode of SC Scoops Live from 2008. That was the first call-in show that I ever did with my good friend Noah Mark. But Boots wants to know, who is the Jannetty of the team? Is it Caster or is it Bowens? I think it's way too early to know if there is a Jannetty on that team. I think both of them could have singles runs at some point. I don't think either of them stand out to a point where I would say, oh, this guy is the Shawn Michaels and this guy is the... Which is kind of a shitty thing anyway to say, right? I mean, it's a shitty thing not just for them, but it's a shitty thing for Marty Jannetty, who actually was a... Marty Jannetty was a great wrestler. He's just a complete fuck-up when it comes to his personal life. You know, he kind of did it to himself. Guy was a total fuck-up, but nobody will ever deny his ability in the ring. Marty Jannetty was a great wrestler. So, I mean, to that end, is it really an insult to call somebody a Marty Jannetty? But it's way too early to know. Tuxedo T Servo, thank you for the $5, my friend. Tony Khan is getting his money's worth with Danielson, but it never gets old because he changes things up so much. I am loving it. Bulu Fatula, I know Bulu is all over the super chats tonight. Bulu, I love you, brother. Bulu was all over the place last night, too. Bulu is everywhere. Bulu Fatulu feels like you should be part of the whole Samoan bloodline faction. I think he should be a character on TV. But he wants to know, would I rather wrestle Rob Schneider in Home Depot or Target? Bulu also apparently is on drugs, very powerful drugs, to come up with a question like that. I want nothing to do with Rob Schneider. I want nothing to do with Rob Schneider movies. I am more of a Target guy, though, myself, although I haven't been either of those stores in a very long time. So, Bulu also wants to know, keep or delete, making a burrito with a Mexican or make a pizza with an Italian. Bulu is definitely on drugs. Hard narcotics of some kind. Probably the street kind. My goodness, Bulu. Well, I don't have pizza anymore, and I don't have burritos. I feel like that would probably not end well for me, so I'm going to go with none of the above. Como Amosto, thank you for the $4.99. No message, just showing some love. Nick Grasso, thank you for the $4.99. Very good episode of Rampage. Love the line about Johnny Ace from Max Caster, and that Punk Kingston segment felt like a shoot. Well, that's how you know they did a great job. They accomplished what they set out to do. If it came across to you like, wait a minute, that might have been a little real, or wait a minute, that comment there felt a little too real to me. That's exactly what they were going for in that segment. When you only have 10 days with two guys who are known for their mic skills, you've got to find a way to convince people that there's a real hatred between the two of you. And they went out there, and that's exactly what they did. It was the only way, the only really compelling way that they could sell that match on you know, relatively short notice. And these two guys have been around. It's almost like these guys have been wrestling for more than a few years. It's almost like these guys have been around for a while, and they actually know what they're doing. Texas Aggie, $12.99. We need to find somebody to bottle up that Kingston Punk segment and sell it. Inject that segment into my veins. Love the podcast and the reviews. Thank you, Texas. Liquid Sharingan with the $5 super chat. I'm hoping Finn Balor and Kevin Owens leave WWE when their contracts expire. Also, your streams and videos help me manage my depression. Well, Liquid, if the shows and the streams can be of help to you in even just a small way, then it's all worth it. I'm glad that you find some positive benefit to watching me rant and rave about pro wrestling. And thank you for the support. I appreciate that. Angry Magma, Punk and Eddie rivalry is fire. Cannot wait for the pay-per-view. Pedro Velasquez, hope you are having a fantastic day. Well, that was very nice of you to say. He just wanted to know if I was having a great day. I actually was. I was having a lot of work today, but everything went the way that I was hoping it would go. So that's all you can ask for. No unexpected surprises. Joshua Carlos, Ocean Man, better Judgment Day match, JBL against John Cena or Eddie Guerrero against JBL? I'm going to go JBL and Cena. I know that was also a bloodbath. They were both, very good matches, but I'm going to go with JBL and Cena on that one. Obviously, people remember the Eddie and JBL more for what came at the very end of it. Quintus Brown, great show tonight. Punk and Kingston segment was great. Cole and Silver was good. Silver should be wrestling more on TV. Old Dirty Sausage. This was the best segment all year. Punk and Eddie killed it. Yeah, you can kind of tell what I think the real draw is going to be each week on these shows, or what I'm looking forward to the most, based on what you see in the artwork here or in the thumbnail. And the first thing, once I knew the lineup for the show tonight, I went to Steve, our good friend Steve Mello, who is the genius behind all of the art that you see here on the channel, and I said, Steve, we're doing Punkin' Eddie front and center on the thumbnail and the layout. Because I knew right away, as soon as it was in, I didn't care what the main event was going to be. I said, we're not putting Budge or Bulge or whatever he, you know, whatever they're calling Adam Cole. We're putting Eddie Kingston and CM Punk. That was the draw of tonight's show. Frank Aquilino, Mr. Monster with the TBS title and probable trios titles. Do you think AEW is in danger of having too many championships? Not yet. No, I don't. If they add another, then yes. I don't even count the FTW title at this point. We don't even see Ricky Starks in the ring hardly ever, which I've said before. I think part of that honestly has to do with the fact that I'm not convinced he's fully healed from his neck injury. And I think they're putting him on commentary. Ricky Starks was on commentary again tonight. And keeping him out of the ring because he may not fully be 100%. So we never get to see the FTW belt. It's irrelevant. We have the world title, the women's world title, and the tag team titles, right? Now, we have the AAA belts being defended by FTR, but that's temporary, right? That's like Christian being the Impact champion. It's just temporary. Now, we have the TNT title as the secondary title for the men, and we're going to have the TBS title as the secondary title for the women. So, if you add a trios championship, I think if you stop with that, I think that's fine. Now, if they add a trios and they add women's tag team belts or, you know, some other kind of belt, then I think that's too much. But I think right now they have a good mix of championships. Fire Panda 007, how would you rate CM Punk's run in AEW so far? Well, I mean, again, what they've been doing with him is trying to have him rack up wins against different people. And now, for the first time, I feel like he's really had a chance to go head-to-head in the ring, as he did tonight, with somebody who's on his level, certainly verbally on his level. And I'm looking forward to the match. Coming out of Full Gear, do they continue the feud beyond just one match? Is it just one and done, that's it? And Punk moves on to somebody else. It's been a little underwhelming in that he hasn't really stated a purpose or a mission. What is he after? I'm sure he's after the championship like everybody else is, but he hasn't vocalized that yet. He hasn't articulated that. He hasn't stated that. I'm here for one reason, and that's to be the AEW champion. I wish he would have a stated mission. And that way it would give us clarity about why he's back and what he wants to accomplish in the next 6 months. So it's been a little underwhelming, but I also think it's still early. I mean, he came back at the end of August. His first match was the beginning of September. Today, it's now the beginning of November. He has been there exactly 2 months. 2 months is not a very long time. So we have to wait a little bit longer, I think, and see, heading into the beginning of the new year, if they have a big program for him to really, you know, that can go 2, 3, 4 months, you know, kind of a bigger name that he could get in there with. Because we're going to get Punk and MJF, and we're going to get Punk and Danielson either as a team or against each other. Punk and Omega at some point, Punk and Cole. We're going to get all those matches. Moxley, you know, when Moxley eventually comes back, we may get something with him and Punk at some point. But 2 months, you know, it's, you got to sometimes stop and say, the guy hasn't been here for that long. He hasn't had that many matches. How many matches has he had? 4? Maybe 5? Magician Sapphire, love Rampage tonight. That Punk and Kingston segment was absolute money. Harry Waite, thank you for the $11. Solomonster, Harry from Melbourne, Australia. We have one of our Aussie listeners here with us. DB hasn't missed the beat since joining AEW. Eddie Kingston and CM Punk will be awesome. Also, love your work, mate. Always love it when someone calls me mate. Good night, mate. Thank you, Harry. Magician Sapphire, thank you again to you as well. Oh, Jolly Burgos dropping $10. talking about the AEW ratings for Dynamite this week. He says, I, for one, am shocked that a show that has, and again, talking about diversity on the show. You have certainly made your position known in the past. Chris Quillman with the $5. Just curious if you and the people in the chat have seen Kingston cut a promo on a bag of candy in an episode of BTE. Promo class 2.0. I have not seen Eddie Kingston cut a promo on a bag of candy, but I'm sure it was a great promo. I think Eddie Kingston is somebody who could probably sell ice to an Eskimo. Dried chicken without flavor, Eddie Kingston to Roman Reigns after the segment. Acknowledge me, I am the chief of this tribe. Marcus the Entertainer, Punk and Kingston, good stuff. And Marcus also says, 8 matches announced for Full Gear. Will they announce another match? I think they may add Ruby against Statlander. Yeah, I would expect there to be another 1 or 2 matches on TV this week announced to round out the card. Probably some kind of like multi-man match or multi-woman match. I don't think we're done yet. I am going to do Full Gear predictions on the podcast, though, this Sunday. So if you want my early predictions here, I'm going to be doing it before we have the go-home shows next week. But I will do my Full Gear predictions on Sunday show. GCC305. A solid monster. Love the reviews. Buy or sell Samoa Joe against Kenta Kobashi from Ring of Honor and Samoa Joe against Kurt Angle from TNA Genesis 2006. Both great matches, but come on. You got to go with Joe and Kobashi. Even though 75% of the match, you know, may have been chops, but even still, Joe and Kobashi, I mean, come on. Can't vote against that. Ojali says, I'm sorry if I'm being toxic, but I'm just tired of the crap that comes from that place. They think they're so perfect, and they are not. Tony Khan hired Urban Meyer as coach, and he is not that good of a person. Well, I got news for you. If you want to start getting into the different executives that have hired various coaches for, in different sports organizations and whether or not they're good people, that's a long fucking list. Tony Khan, you're right that Tony Khan is not immune to that. Tony Khan is, he is no more or less special than any of those other executives, but let's not pretend that Urban Meyer is the only bad hiring that an executive has made in the NFL or Major League Baseball for that matter. And I say that as a Mets fan. How many executives have we fired? We just fired another one after an investigation was finally completed into sexual harassment. We got a whole bunch of fucking deviants who have been hired by the Mets organization here in New York. Canadian Oddball. Do you think the releases are more to do with issues with the talent or their contract costs? Looks like Nick Khan is really trimming the fat. You know, Nick Khan may be giving his input and you know, making whatever moves it is that he's making, but this is not Nick Khan deciding who stays and who goes. This is Vince McMahon. At the end of the day, Vince, the buck stops with him. And if he wants to keep somebody on his roster, he'll keep them. And if he wants them gone or he doesn't really care one way or the other, then guess what? They're going to be gone. But do I think it has more to do with issues with the talent or their contract costs? I think it's a combination of both. I think it has more to do with the talent, whether or not they think this person is expendable or not. Or is this person a pain in the ass? You know, as apparently was the case with Bray Wyatt. That's how they supposedly felt. I mean, I think it has more to do with that than any individual contract or how big it is. But they'll lump it all into the category of budget cuts. So, Domination Warrior, shout out to Mox for a thorough recovery, and Keith Lee, Ember, Biff, Metalik, and Mia for working elsewhere. Where can we get a This Is Solomonster for Spotify? Where can we get a This Is Solomonster or Spotify? I don't follow. But you can get Solomonster on Spotify. A lot of people listen to the podcast on Spotify. Even that guy there, look at that. Getting his ass kicked there in that super chat. On your screen. Boots. Who is the better chairman? Laparca? Speak of the devil. Laparca or Sean Spear? Of course Laparca. Come on. Why would you even ask a question like that? Dried chicken without flavor. Thank you, sir, for the $5. He says, I just realized the name Budge comes from Pokemon. It's a running joke towards Cassidy and Budge, Butch, from the other Team Rocket. I have no fucking idea what you're talking about. You sound very educated in that, so I will take your word for that, sir. I am not a Pokemon guy. I did download Pokemon Go, and the Pokemon Go thing was a big craze. Everybody had it on their cell phones and everything, and people were going through Central Park looking for fucking Pokemons, and one person got hit by a car. Pay attention when you're crossing the street. Get off your fucking phone and actually watch where you're going. I played Pokemon Go once, and I said, what the hell am I doing? I don't know. What am I trying to do here? I'm collecting Pokemon? It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I put the game down. I uninstalled it from my phone. I never played it again. What am I missing here? Marcus the Entertainer, buy or sell The Rock versus Mankind or Triple H against Mick Foley? Triple H and Mick Foley had a great chemistry together. I would probably buy on them. Yukio Rules, I did not know Harry Smith was in WWE because I was wondering why he wasn't in AEW, helping or teaming with Lance Archer to be the Killer Elite Squad. Well, you might soon see a Killer Elite Squad reunion. I mean, let's be honest. You look at what Lance Archer is doing in AEW. Would it really be such a bad idea if Harry Smith went to AEW to reform the Killer Elite Squad and they went after the tag team titles? Can't be any worse than what Archer is doing now. He's not doing anything. But then Jake Roberts might be out of a job. Although we haven't seen him in a while. Jason Case, if you're Tony Khan, who would you bring in from Ring of Honor for one night to have a match on Dynamite, similar to how Jeff Cobb was brought in for one night? Got a lot of options in Ring of Honor, right? You've got Jonathan Gresham. I hear a lot of great things about him. And what I've seen of him, obviously he's very good. Jay Lethal has been a long-time player in Ring of Honor who, if you brought him into AEW for one night, I think he could go in there with almost anybody on that roster and have a great match. You've got Brody King, you've got Roosh, you've got any number of people. Dalton Castle. Right? There's a lot of people on that roster, a lot of very talented people. Who would I bring in? You know, I think you put Lethal in there against Brian Danielson. Since Danielson wants to wrestle everybody anyway, can't tell me that wouldn't be a great match. Bulu Fatulu. Max Caster or John Cena? Better freestyle raps in wrestling. There's no comparison, John Cena. John Cena was just on another level when it came to that kind of stuff in wrestling. Because there have been a lot of wrestlers that have been wannabe rappers or have tried to rap in wrestling. Remember when Bull Buchanan, B Squared, when he was doing his thing on SmackDown many years ago? But John Cena was great at it. I would take John Cena over Max Caster. Spartan Sprinkles. What a name. Spartan Sprinkles. I was at the show tonight during the break. Punk said the Cardinals suck. And got massive boos before saying, but so do the Cubs. And he got huge cheers. Was that the break before his segment with Eddie or after? Because he might have been trying to set the stage to get booed during his segment with Kingston. You go out there and insult the Cardinals, you're not going to get a very positive reaction. Yeah, Beowulf, Dalton Castle. Boy, you know, Dalton Castle at one time was one of the hottest commodities, really, outside of WWE. You had Dalton Castle and the boys and the whole entrance and the whole act. And he's had a bad back for a very long time. His back really sidelined him, and I think it was after he won the title even. You know, his back got really, really bad, and it really impacted his title reign. I don't know what the status is of his back today, if it's a lot better, if it's a little bit better, if it's still bothering him. But it really did kind of kill his career, stall his career when he was at his peak. He got hurt at the worst possible time, and he never really recovered from it. Jason Case, if you're at a bar and Cora Jade, Anna Jay, and Katrina offer you their cell numbers, which one would you take? You can only take one. What is with all these rules? Why am I only allowed to take one? I'm taking all three. Like Tommy Dreamer in ECW back in the day. I'm hardcore. I would take all three. You can only take one. I guess me and Katrina are going to, we have to just figure out where we're going for dinner that night. We can only choose one. Plus, Ultra Adrian. Triple H was probably reenacting the Cuba Gooding Jr. swinging at air scene from Boys in the Hood last night. Vince has ruined all of Triple H's work. Fire Panda, my dad believes that AEW and WWE are working together based on how many WWE talent go to AEW. Do you agree or do you not? I think that you're a very concerned son, I'm sure. And I think you should take your father for a CAT scan. Make sure that he's okay, that he's thinking straight. No, WWE and AEW are not working together. I can tell you that with 100% certainty. And I hope your dad is okay. You tell him I said that. Bulu Fatulu, keep or delete. Lizzie McGuire or even Stevens. My goodness. Better Disney show. You're asking me about Disney shows? I haven't watched a Disney... I don't think I've ever watched a Disney show. I can't even think of one. I don't care about either one of those shows. You can delete them both. Amiibo, our good buddy Amiibo, joining us here tonight. Imagine spending money on floor seats just to hold up a sign to troll people. Very sad. Great show nonetheless. Shout out to Brian Barsoon. I always did get a laugh, though, back during the Attitude Era. You would have these people who would bring signs to the shows that would say, "The guy next to me can't see." Now, I'm sure if I was the guy sitting behind him, I wouldn't be very happy and laughing about it, but I always thought that was funny. Quintus Brown, I know it would be a long shot, but I hope that we get a shoot interview from Triple H someday. Let me just turn the music off here for a little bit. A Triple H, was he going to sit down with RF Video and do a shoot interview with that shitty curtain in the background? Or sitting in the hotel room. You see a lot of those old interviews, RF Video interviews at the hotel. Maybe Triple H will be sitting there eating ravioli like Kevin Nash was that one time when he did that one shoot interview. Marcus the Entertainer, Budge is Cole's screen name for his non-wrestling gaming channel. I thought that was Chugs. His name is Budge? I thought it was Chugs. Now I'm completely confused. I thought his name on Twitch was Chugs, but apparently now I've been corrected. Apparently it is Budge. Isaiah Roca, if I could bring in anyone from Ring of Honor, it would be the Briscoes, and I would have them and FTR tear the house down. Boots says, I'm drunk and bored, which results in silly questions such as, why are there tables under the ring? You don't need tables to set up the ring. Well, I'll do you one better. Why are there kendo sticks under the ring? What purpose, what possible purpose would there be to place kendo sticks under a wrestling ring? At least tables, ladders, even chairs. You could come up with plausible explanations for any of those things. There is no possible explanation for why there would be kendo sticks underneath the ring. Explain that one to me, drunk boy. Jay Baker with the $4.99. You called it months ago and you said Vince will take one look and ask, what the fuck is a B-Fab? You are the current Nostradamus. I did say that, didn't I? Boy, was I right. It only took about 3 or 4 weeks for him to go, what the fuck is a B-Fab? Get rid of it. I hate it when I'm right. Dry chicken without flavor. I am a big fan of Chris Bay in Bullet Club on Impact Wrestling. I hope we see a Bullet Club member on AEW very soon. Look at this. Dave Meltzer dropping a $1.99 super chat. Better chairman, Vince McMahon or Sean Spears? You can pretty much put anybody in that super chat. I'm going to go with whoever is on the opposite end of Sean Spears. Boots says Girl Meets World on Disney Plus has Topanga. I thought Girl Meets World got canceled after a couple of seasons. Is that still on? Fire Panda 007 says, if you had to make a match between a WWE talent and an AEW talent, who would it be in the match and what type of match? Well, you know, we saw Ricochet on SmackDown tonight. One of the only good things about SmackDown was Ricochet against Drew McIntyre for the short time that it lasted. Ricochet is somebody who would fit right in there, wouldn't he? On that AEW roster. You let Ricochet go out there and just be Ricochet. No handcuffs, no time constraints, no restrictions. Just go out there and do your thing. You know, Ricochet and Darby Allin would be a lot of fun to watch. Probably not everybody's cup of tea, but that would be a fun match. I'm trying to think like some of the bigger names that I might like to see. I think MJF. I think who, like MJF on promos, would it be fun to see him go back and forth with on WWE television? You know, it's sad. They don't really have a lot of strong promo people in the same vein of an MJF or a Punk or an Eddie Kingston right now that really jump out at me on either roster. Cesaro. He was also on SmackDown tonight. A rare SmackDown appearance for Cesaro. You take Cesaro and you put him in the ring with a Bryan Danielson. I guess people look at Danielson still, though, as a WWE guy. But, you know, Cesaro in there with Kenny Omega? You tell me that wouldn't be a hell of a match? How about Roman Reigns against Orange Cassidy? That piss a lot of people off? Jose says, dude can't cut a promo to save his life. Ricochet had a backstage segment with Mustafa Ali tonight. He wasn't terrible, but it was a very scripted, short, to the point kind of segment. You put a live mic in his hand on TV, that's a different story. Promos is not Ricochet's strong suit. Mr. Dynamite says Reggie against Darby Allin. Dry Chicken says Hit Row against the Acclaimed. Cesaro against Lance Archer. These are good matches, but those aren't great matches. What would the really great matches be? Hey, Casey is Raw. What's up, man? Hope you're having a good Friday night. Juan says Pockets would get massacred by the Tribal Chief. Fire Panda, I would pick Roman and Mox in Hell in a Cell. All right, let's move over while people debate what the WWE versus AEW supercard would look like here. We'll get back to that. I do believe that we should head on over to our weekly installment on these AEW streams of Be the Booker, which I know is a favorite of some of you guys, one of my favorites too. Shout out to Zinfamous HD for the wonderful usage of this GIF each and every week, where we spin the wheel, make the deal, like it's Halloween Havoc, and we book the WrestleMania main event. One half of our WrestleMania main event this week is the Big Red Machine, Kane. Although I don't like that version of Kane. If I had to choose, we would not be going with that version of Kane. We would be going with a much earlier version of Kane. But who will Kane be facing in the main event of WrestleMania? I'd shit myself if it was The Undertaker. Can you imagine? It'll be Kane in the WrestleMania main event one-on-one against Kenny Omega, the reigning AEW World Champion. What do you guys think of that? Prime Kane against Kenny Omega. There's a match, right? Finally. We got a good one here this week. Kenny Omega against Kane. I like it. Let's give the ladies the same treatment and book ourselves an all-female WrestleMania main event. Let us see who the GIF will land on here. We'll pick the first half, which is going to be Michelle McCool. Remember when she came into WWE all those many years ago? Michelle McCool is loving life. Those very corny vignettes for her. Michelle McCool. Oh, it'd be so great if The Undertaker was accidentally in this gif. Michelle McCool will go one-on-one with Mia, I almost said Mia Khalifa. Mia Yim. Not Mia Khalifa. That is Mia Yim. Michelle McCool in the WrestleMania main event against Mia Yim. You know what that means. That don't work for me, brother. But hey, one out of two ain't bad. One out of two ain't bad. I will take those odds. I will take that score. Reckoning, I'm sorry. Oh, I misidentified her. That was Reckoning. That's right. Reckoning from Retribution. I'm sure if The Undertaker had his way, he would get Michelle McCool in the WrestleMania main event on the women's side. But thankfully, The Undertaker is retired. He is in his rocking chair at home. He's people watching out of his window. And we don't have to worry about him flexing his political muscle behind the scenes. Jason Case dropped a super chat. He said, because of you, I just started watching The Sopranos for the first time and seeing Tony chase that guy in the car was great. I think that was the very first episode of the show. Can't wait to watch more. Well, you're in for a treat. What you will notice is that from the earlier seasons to the end of the show, Tony got progressively larger and more unhealthy to the point where in the final couple of seasons of the show, I feel like they should have given his breathing a credit in the end credits at the end of each episode. It was like its own, you know, kind of a special guest star. And then, of course, we see what happened when he had a heart attack in real life many years later and passed away. So you go back, I go back and watch some of those clips sometimes. I mean, he got really overweight in those last couple of seasons. And his breathing was just, I don't think that was all acting. He did not sound like a healthy man. He really looks like almost a totally different person from season one to season six, I guess was the last season. Mordo 887 MJF with a promo guy. The Miz is the best one in my opinion. You know what? I think actually MJF and The Miz, I can't say the match really excites me, but you're right. I think MJF might be able to bring out the best in The Miz on the microphone. That's not a bad idea. Emin Johnson says, I prefer Mia Khalifa. I'm sure you do. And Dr. NXT Scorpio, looks like you might get the last word here. Vince Russo for Be the Booker. Sorry, Solomonster. Well, no matter what I book here, I assure you it will be better than whatever Vince Russo would book nowadays. So we will do more Be the Booker on Wednesday. Like I said, I'll be back live after Dynamite goes off the air. We'll talk about that show. Of course, before then, you got a big podcast coming up. The 14-year anniversary this weekend, episode 729. 729 episodes of that podcast coming up on Sunday. And no Rampage. Again, no Rampage stream. Next Friday, I will be at the House of Glory show. And I hope either in person or on Fight TV, you guys can join. And then the very next night is Full Gear. So that's going to be a very busy weekend next week. So I hope you will join me for all of that and hit that like button on the way out. If you have not hit the thumbs up already, please do so because it does help the stream out. I guess Dr. NXT Scorpio is not going to get the last word. We got a few more super chats here before we head out. Jason Case, who could forget Shane McMahon's heavy breathing? Of course. How could we forget? I did forget, actually, Shane McMahon's heavy breathing there for a while. Nick Grasso, Shotzi Blackheart's heel promo was forced, and they are taking away everything that made her special. Well, you just wait. I came into SmackDown late tonight. I didn't see the beginning of the show. I didn't see any of the Shotzi stuff. But you just wait. Now that she's a heel, I guarantee you they're going to take her tank away from her next. They do this with the NXT talent. Now, I always thought the tank thing was goofy anyway, right? But that was her character. And so when a lot of these NXT people get called up, WWE strips away everything that made them popular, everything that worked for them in NXT. So how long before they get rid of the tank? And there's no more tank for Shotzi Blackheart. And Fire Panda 007, Taker against Sting, because why not? In what, checkers? You're talking about current modern day Taker against Sting? Not in a wrestling match. 20 years ago, yes, but not in the wrestling ring. Perhaps they could play handball, perhaps they can play, you know, a game of backgammon or something along those lines. Drew Novak with the $4.99. What's going on, Drew? He says budge is short for budget cuts. Is that true? That's not true. It's sad that I don't know if that's true or not. I'm going to assume you're joking, but that is actually pretty funny. Dry chicken without flavor. Adam Page does not need the world title. All he needs is family. But the family says Hangman has to win. And Boots, what is your luchador name? El Monstro del Sol. I guess Salamonstro, maybe. Salamaestro, something like that. Would sound semi-decent, right? Salamonstro. I used to joke with my father. Yeah, my father's name was Robert. And he used to joke every now and then. He asked me a question once. I think I was taking Italian in college. And I think maybe he asked me, like, how do you say my name in Italian or something? But we were having a conversation one day. He's like, how do you say my name in Spanish? And I said, well, just add an O, right? Because when you don't know Spanish, you just add an O to everything, right? So, but in his case, if you put an O at the end of his name, he goes from Robert to Roberto. I said, I think it works. I said, I think you just put an O at the end of your name, and that's your fucking name in Spanish. My first name, it wouldn't work if you put an O at the end of it. But for him, it actually worked. He goes from Robert to Roberto. Marcus the Entertainer, Seth Rollins against Kenny Omega, Serena Deeb against Sasha Banks, Young Bucks against the Usos, CM Punk against Roman Reigns. Yeah, I wasn't thinking of the women. My God, Sasha Banks against really any of the top stars from the women's division would be a lot of fun. Sasha and Britt Baker. Sasha and Ruby, Sasha and Statlander, Sheeta, Serena, Riho. Jose Llanos. Taker against Sting in a good old tetherball match. Fire Panda, what about Edge against Christian? Well, there's an obvious one, I guess, right? Edge against Christian. Again, though, I was trying to think of like the homegrown kind of AEW originals, not anybody who was already a big name in WWE. So from that crop, like Darby and MJF and Hangman and Sammy, you know, who would work best against those top talents in WWE? Bulu Fatulu, Conor McGregor or Colby Covington? Who would be a better heel in wrestling? Well, it would be Conor. I mean, Conor's a dick. I have no interest in seeing him come to WWE, but Connor would be a much bigger heel. Connor knows how to be a heel because Connor in real life is a heel. He's a bad guy in real life. So Connor McGregor without a doubt. People mentioning Asuka. Asuka against Shida. Asuka against Riho. Io Shirai against Britt Baker. All fine choices. Darby against Kofi. I wasn't really thinking about that. That could work. There's a lot of really good matches you could do. It's not going to happen, but me and my friends, we always used to do this back, 25 years ago with the WWF and the WCW rosters. You always used to dream, okay, what would these big fantasy matchups be? So I would imagine you have a lot of younger fans these days who do the same thing with, the WWE talent and the AEW talent. Dr. NXT Scorpio says, can someone quickly explain to me Shotzi wearing a daddy choker? I tried not to laugh with every fiber in my being. Yeah, if you could explain it to him, explain it to me too, because I don't really have a good answer for you. All right, guys, this has been fun. Thank you very much for joining me here 3 nights in a row. I see a lot of familiar faces who have been here all 3 nights. Dynamite on Wednesday, the big breaking news last night. We went 2.5 hours then. And a fun Rampage, what I thought was a fun hour of Rampage tonight. So I shall bid you farewell. And I will. I have a lot of work left to do preparing for the big podcast on Sunday, as we do every weekend. I hope you will listen and tune into that and join me live again here on YouTube on Wednesday after Dynamite. Oh, we got one last one here. Fire Panda says Ricochet against Jungle Boy would be nice. Yep. Put Ricochet in the ring really against any of those guys, right? Any of the young guys, Darby, Sammy, Dante Martin. Imagine Ricochet against Dante Martin. Got Leo Rush now in AEW. It's a lot of potential great opponents for Ricochet if he ever wants to leave WWE. But that's ultimately going to be his decision to make, right? Whenever his contract is up. All right, guys. Peace out. I will see you on Wednesday night live for Dynamite. Have yourselves a fantastic weekend, whatever your weekend plans may be. I hope you're having fun, whatever it is. And I'll see you back here on the stream on Wednesday. Take care.